Okay, we're starting now Mishnah and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. At the top of the page, this is a relatively easy Mishnah, and the Gemara on this Mishnah is relatively easy, so you should enjoy yourselves today. We're going to go through the exact process now. The next number of Mishnayos are going through the process of what we do with the Sota. First Mishnah was discussing the warnings that are there, which require her to drink the water. Okay, so now once we've done the warnings, and now we have to begin the process of getting her to drink the water. So it starts all the way back home, wherever you happen to live, which may not be near Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah begins now and goes through the procedure and asks, Ketza Osalach. So what do we do with her once she's been warned and we have testimony that she was in seclusion? So Molicha LeBezdin Sheba Osamokam. First of all, she's brought over to the local city court. First, the local court to hear what's going on. You got to hear the testimony. You have to find out that the husband indeed did warn. You know, just because a guy says so doesn't mean it's so. You go to the court says, you warned your wife, was in front of two witnesses. Let's see who the witnesses are. Let's question the witnesses, make sure that's exactly what happened. There's two witnesses that saw she went into seclusion. Let's check out the witnesses. So first we have to know. And then they still say, do you claim that you're innocent? And she has to claim that she's innocent and all this. Now, it's a whole discussion how many people have to be on that local court. But that's the local court, number one. Okay, once they're pretty satisfied that we've got a Sota case over here, local court now makes the following thing happen. Umosrim lo. And the judges provide for the husband shnei talmidei chachamim, two scholars to escort the husband and the wife to Yerushalayim, because number one, she had to be administered the waters by the highest court of the land, the 71 judges of the Sanhedrin, which was in Yerushalayim, and also because the water she drank was in the Beis Hamikdash. So she has to go to Yerushalayim. That's where it always has to happen. Therefore, they give over. Now, we'll see why. Why can't the husband just go with the wife? Can you guys think of any reason?
Yeah, they could do things.
Remember we said if the husband decides to be intimate with his wife, the whole thing falls apart. Yeah. Or who knows, there could be other things. They could get into fights. He might kill her. Who knows what? She might kill him. I don't know. But anyway, it's not exactly the best of friends that are going to Yerushalayim, and the husband has to be there too. So the husband has to be there. So the Mishnah says, Shema Yavo Alel Baderech, lest the husband have intimate relations with the wife, and as long as her status is unclear, he is forbidden to the wife. And more than that, if he does cohab, so number one, the husband's prohibited to be with her. A. B, if he does, the waters will be ineffective, and Hashem's name will be erased for no reason. So that's number one. That's the opinion of the no-name Tanakama. Opinion number one. But there's a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Seems like you don't have to have anybody. Why? Because Bala Neman Alel, the husband can be trusted regarding her. We need not be concerned that he will be with her. The Gemara will now explain what's the machlokes between these two opinions. So the machlokes, the first opinion says you have to send two scholars with them to keep an eye on things. Ruta says, no, the husband is believed. So what would be the logic in the machlokes the Gemara is going to discuss? The Gemara now says, first of all, the Gemara goes on a side point. First starts a side point. The side point is there's another halacha in the Torah. It's a rabbinic law, rather. It's called the laws of Yichud. The laws of Yichud mean that beyond the fact that a man is not allowed to have relations with a woman that's not his wife, and beyond the fact a man is not even allowed to affectionately touch a woman that's not his wife, the rabbis also said that a man and a woman who may not have this may not be in seclusion just even for benign reasons. That's called Yichud. In other words, a man and a woman cannot be alone together if they're not husband and wife or mother or father and daughter. You understand what I'm saying. Can't be alone. And the reason is very simple. because could lead to something that's worse. So now the question then becomes, okay, so one man and one woman cannot be alone. What about two men and one woman? That becomes a whole discussion. In other words, how many people have to be together that we can then assume that we don't have to worry that something is going to happen? This is beyond the scope of, you know, what we want to get through a thorough discussion. One wants to bring a little proof, thinks it can bring a proof from this Mishnah. From the opinion said you had to bring two men, two scholars, plus the husband. So how many men is that?
Three.
So Gemara is going to try to deduce, I guess, why do we do that? So I guess if you have three men, think about it. Why do you need to have two scholars to make sure the guy doesn't do anything? Just send one scholar. One scholar will be there, and he's going to, you know, if they want to try anything, he's right there. So the Gemara is going to want to make a deduction that you see you have to have two scholars. Why? Because then if there's three men and one woman, there's no problem of seclusion. But if there'd only be two men and one woman, there's a problem of seclusion. That's an outside problem. And that's why we needed to have an extra scholar, because really one scholar would have been enough. You're going to say, well, do we suspect Jewish people? That, you know what? You never know. Yetzer haras pop up in the middle of anywhere, and things can happen. So, you know, therefore, it doesn't matter if the woman's an 85-year-old lady and the man's a 20-year-old man. It doesn't matter. The laws of Yichud are the laws of Yichud that have to be taken seriously. So, therefore, now there's all kinds of exceptions to the rules. There's all kinds of laws. But anyway, the Gemara seems to imply the fact that three men must accompany this woman, that precludes us from the problem of Yichud. They want to make this as a proof from the Mishnah, as a proof to that. Because otherwise, why did you have to have two scholars? You could have had one scholar. So this is what Gemara is going to say. Gemara deduces Trey the Ihu. There are two scholars, plus he, the husband, that makes three people accompanying this woman. Would imply, what could you not do? Tilsa. So that's a total of three. So you got to have three men with the woman. So now there is a machlokes in another place in Shas that we now can prove one of these opinions. Lema misayeya leila rav. Let's say this Mishnah is a support for Rav. That what? The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says regarding seclusion, he talks about a whole issue of seclusion, and he says lo shanu ela be'ir. He says that one woman can be with two men if you're in the city. Okay, these laws of Yichud. So if a woman's in a city where there's a lot of people, then one woman with two men, that's okay. We don't have to worry about anything. Avol baderech, but Rav says if you're on the road where there's not very many people, ad de'ika shlosha, you need three people to accompany the woman. Otherwise, you have a problem of Yichud, and this Mishnah seems to prove Rav's position, who says you need three people. Now, why do we need to have three people? What's wrong with two people? Wouldn't two people be enough? You know, if one man wants to do something wrong, the other guy will stop him. You'd think two would be enough, right? The answer is no. Two is not enough. Shema yitzarech echav nemlinakav. Maybe one guy's got to go to the bathroom. And in those days, it wasn't just a 15-second thing. You had to walk a distance away. And then what will happen is you only one man with one woman. You're going to have the one man alone with this woman. But if there's three men, then even if one of them goes to the bathroom, there's still two men with this woman. So therefore, this Mishnah seems to be a proof, the opinion of Rav, that when you're outside of the city, you have to have three men with a woman so that to not have any problems of Yichud. Gemara then says, no, that's not a proof. The reason we need two men has nothing to do with the Yichud issue. There's a whole other reason. What other reason could there be for having two people? Lo, no, it's not a proof. The reason why this Mishnah says you have to have two witnesses, because we're talking about escorting a sota and her husband. Because what if the husband and wife do something immoral? How will we know? What if the
witnesses?
Well, how many witnesses do you have to have? Two witnesses. That's why we need the two men. One man, if one man testifies, we can't believe one man. We have to have two witnesses. So there would be two witnesses in case the husband cohabits with his wife. You have two, and it's not a yichud issue at all. It could be that even two men could go out in the forests with a woman. But here's this, you need testimony from them. So here you now. Now we have two reasons why there's two scholars. One is to prevent them from doing what they shouldn't do, and also that it would not work, because then they would then testify against them, and therefore you wouldn't have to be involved with drinking the waters. Now, you're true, one person will be enough to make sure that the husband and wife don't do anything wrong, but two are needed for the testimony. Then Gemara says, okay, I got that so far, two guys for the testimony, but why do they got to be Torah scholars? What's wrong if two just nice from Balabatim, two God-fearing people who we believe in a court? Why does it have to be a Torah scholar? You think you only accept the testimony of a Torah scholar? If two good Jewish religious Jews come to court and testify, don't we believe them? Yeah. So why do they got to be Torah scholars? So it appears, Talmidei Chachamim in, the Mishnah seems to say two Torah scholars, yes, accompany wife. Kuli Alma, lo, but everybody else, not. So now it seems that the Torah scholars are sent because we rely on men of moral quality. Wait a minute. So now we're going to come back to the Yichud issue again. Yeah. Wait a minute. You know when? So now maybe, but they got to be of Torah quality. Maybe that's part of the issues, because if it's just a question of testimony, why don't you just have regular Jews come? Why do they got to be Torah scholars? Two regular Jews could stop them from doing anything wrong. Two regular Jews could testify. Why do they got to be Torah scholars? Maybe there's something we can imply from the laws of Yichud again that relates to Torah scholars. In other words, who would we trust with a woman that we wouldn't have to worry about Yichud? So lema misayeya leilidach Rav. Maybe this supports another ruling of Rav regarding the laws of Yichud. Domer Rav Yehuda Marav. Rav Yehuda Marav says, when do we say that the people there is enough people? Lo shano, this law that a woman can be alone with two men, that's only when they're ksherim, when they're decent men. In other words, you have to have at least two decent men with her, because that each one will make sure that nothing goes wrong. One decent man is enough too, and two decent men we mean talmidei chachamim. So that's why you need two decent men, and that's what he says. So you have to have at least two decent men. Aval prutzim, but people who are promiscuous, afila saranamilo, even if 10 men with women, if they're promiscuous, doesn't help. And we have a story to effectively prove that. Maisahoya, there was indeed an incident. Vahotzia sarabamita, and 10 men carried a woman out in a coffin on the presumption that he was dead, but for the purpose of doing an immoral act somewhere else. Okay, and it was a married woman. Okay, it doesn't really matter. So therefore, you see, 10 men, we don't trust even 10 men if they're very immoral, but you have to have at least two religious men. So maybe this mission is still a proof that when you're going out with a woman, it at least has to be two men who are of moral character. That's why they got to be Talmidei Chachamim. Maybe they'll prove that law of Rav. Moore says, no, that's also not a proof. Lo, it's not a proof. Hacha, why do we need Hainu Taima, that we need to have men of scholars? Because it's not so simple to be a witness. The Yadi Lesru, because they know how to warn the husband about the fact that if he cohabits with his wife, the bitter waters won't work. In other words, two scholars were not because of their character so much in the laws of Yichud, but they'll know how to give a halachically acceptable warning to the woman. That's what they say. As Torah scholars, they know that under biblical law, the bitter waters are impotent if the husband cohabited his wife after she became a sota. And therefore, the scholars will be effective in dissuading him from doing that thing. Or Torah scholars were chosen for this because they know how to speak in a way that will inspire the husband to subdue his evil inclination. Okay? Now, the simple meaning of Amar would seem to be that Torah scholars have the knowledge to warn the husband that if he cohabits with the wife, he will be subject to lashes, etc., etc. In other words, an ignorant guy just says, hey, you know, you're not supposed to do that. Lord, yeah. But they don't know anything more to say. We want the right people. So therefore, this has nothing to do with the laws of Yichud. We need two scholars, A, so you have acceptable witnesses, and B, that they will be able to testify, and they will be able, and why scholars? Because they'll know exactly how to give the admonition and to try to prevent them from doing that aveira. Okay, that's the end of that little part of the Gemara. We now go to the Machlokes, the Tanakhama of Yehuda. Tanakhama says two must escort. Rabbi Yehuda says nobody escorts. So what's the rationale behind the two opinions? Seems the Tanakhama makes a little bit of sense. You want to prevent anything from happening. You have to have two witnesses. What's the sfar of Rabbi Yehuda that says the husband should just go on his own? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bala, the husband, Rabbi Yehuda says the husband can be trusted, and we don't have to be worried about him doing this. So Tanya, we have a brisa that elucidates on the cryptic words of this Mishnah, and the brisa gives us a much more lengthy treatment of the subject. Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bala Neman Mikal Vachomer. The husband's believed from a Kal Vachomer argument, an a fortiori argument. Now let's think in general, where else do we know that a husband is trusted to be with his wife and that he won't do anything wrong? And there's no witnesses. And this is, every Jewish man has that trust. When his wife is Anita. When his wife is Anita, a husband can't be with his wife. And if he's with his wife, it carries a very strict punishment of kares. Okay, over here, he's not even going to get kares over here. So that's a very, very serious law. Do we always have two guards in everybody's house to watch what's going on? Do we set up cameras? You know, we trust them, right? And this is when normally it's a pretty good, and it's a worse punishment. Remember, if a husband is with his wife, happily married, and she hasn't gone to the mikvah, the punishment is kares. That's very bad. Here, by the husband of Sota, the punishment isn't nearly as bad. It really isn't, he's forbidden, but maybe it's a lav, maybe you get lashes, but that's very, very much less than kares. So the kalachom is like this. If we believe a man to be alone with his wife, when, if he does something wrong, it's a terrible punishment and we trust him. All the more so here where the punishment isn't so great, we should trust him, and therefore you don't need to have two people. That's the logic he's going to say.
I thought the reasoning would be the other way around.
Well, hold on. Hold on.
If the punishment is less, then you shouldn't trust him so much.
Why?
Because less punishment, so who cares?
Very good. That's going to be the Chachamim's opinion who disagree with him. Very good. So you both are now, we have now gone through the two sides of the argument. Now we just got to read it inside. Very good. So let's go back to review. My Yehuda says, Uma Anita Shiba Kores, if we know by Anita, the punishment is Kores. And yet, Ba'alo Neman Olel, we believe the husband. He's permitted to be alone with his wife, and we don't assume he's going to do anything wrong. Sota, a man being along with a sota. And the worst is what? Shibalav, it's a negative transgression. So the worst is he's going to get lashed. Lo kol shekein, all the more so we should believe him. Comes back Sammy and all the other rabbis. Verabonon, and the rabbonon say the opposite. He hanosenes. That's the whole point. You're right. It's not a kavon, you're proving the point. Nida de kares, Nida has kares, so since chamirale, it's such a strict punishment, and a guy doesn't want to get kares, it's such a terrible punishment, therefore, umehimam, we're going to believe the husband, because he doesn't want to get himself in such trouble. But sota, delav, sota only transgresses a negative commandment, which doesn't carry such a heavy punishment, lo chamirale. He won't be so stringent in it, and therefore, velo mahinan, and he won't be trusted. So that becomes the two sides of the coin, if we say the Kal V'chomer or we don't say the Kal V'chomer. Now, the next thing the Gemara is going to do, so that seems to be very good. So now we understand the machlokas in the Mishnah, the Chachamim, the Rabbi Yehuda says, we trust the husband because of a Kal V'chomer. The rabbis say precisely, since it's not, this is not the kind of Kal V'chomer that works. If the punishment isn't so bad, there's less to trust. Now the Gemara, all the Gemara is going to do now is show an apparent contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda's words here and Rabbi Yehuda's words in another brisa. That's all. Rabbi Yehuda here says the husband is believed. Finished, right? We're going to see another brisa where it says the husband's not believed. So it seems to be a contradiction. Rabbi Yehuda, or better yet, not a contradiction, but he's going to use a different logic. Right now he's saying it's logic. The next price is going to see it's a text. So what is it? Is this reason for this a logic, or is reason a text? Are you telling me from this brisa, as it says, Ruchuma comes to his conclusion by logic of a kal v'chomer? We're going to see shortly. Rabbi Yehuda mikroi ma'isila. Rabbi Yehuda really derives this from a scriptural support and not a logical support. How do we know this? The Tanya, we learn a brisa, and you're now going to see three opinions brought on this issue. The pasuk says, "Vehevi ha'ish es ishto el hakohen." Think about that. The Torah says, and the man brings his wife to the Kohen. Why didn't the Torah say the man and two other witnesses bring the wife to the Kohen? Interesting idea. If in fact it's two men, let's say that. So the first opinion is going to say, min ha-Torah, biblically, since the Torah only says the husband brings the wife, ha-ish mevi asishto. Really, the husband alone is trusted to bring the wife, biblically. That's what the Torah says. Avol amru chamet, the rabbis put in a little bit of astringency. Mosrim lo shnei talmid chachamim, they give two scholars. Shema yavol abaderech, maybe he will be with her on the way. And that's like the first opinion of our Mishnah that says you have to, so it's rabbinically we tend to, yes, biblically, you don't need anybody. But you need two, just in case, as the rabbis adds out. That's Tanakama, Chachamim, first opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi, similar to the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, he says, Bala Neman Aleh, the husband's believed, has nothing to do with the text, but Mikal V'chomer, he says it's illogical, like we've already said. Uma Nida Shiba Kares, if a husband with his own wife when he's a Nida, which has a punishment of Kares. Bala Neman Aleh, the husband's believed for her, Saita Shehiba Lav, Sota, which only is a Lav, Lo Kol Shkan Lamorsa should be believed, to which a Chachamim said, no, we don't agree with that. Amrullo, they said, no, lo, no. Im Amarta Benita, yeah, you could say it by Nida. Now they give another answer. You know what the other answer is, Benita? Shekein Yeshla Heter, because she's eventually released from the prohibited state. She can't be with her now, but when she goes to the mikveh, it's okay, so the man can halt Sechaim a little bit. In other words, Nida will believe him, because it's not like forever. Okay, so you wait 12 days. You can hold on, so we'll believe him. Tomarna the Sota, we say with Sota, there's no permissibility because who knows when he's ever going to be with her, right? Here it is. Look at, since this possibly exists, we suspect the husband will be overcome with desire and will cohabit with her along the way. It's therefore more reasonable to trust the husband in the case of Nida, because he gives a different argument on the Kol V'Chomer. He's not permitted to her. Finished. And will also, the Omer, and indeed scripture tells us, Mayim genuvim yimtaku, stolen waters are sweet. That's a very important rule. A man naturally desires and pursues that which is forbidden to him. In citing this verse, the rabbis are buttressing their argument for not trusting the husband in the case of the Sota. First, they explain that the possibility for becoming permanently prohibited could overwhelm him with desire. He maybe wants to have one last time with her. Now they anticipate the question, but since these two already have been intimate as man and wife, his passion shouldn't be so intense. Right? I mean, he's been with her already. Yeah. But now that she's forbidden him, his desire will be further out, for stolen waters are sweet. Okay, so therefore, the second rabbi says, it's we don't really need two other people. He's believed, and you don't rabbinically need anybody. And like the Torah says, one is good by himself. And he holds to the Kal V'Chomer, and the rabbis disagree with his Kal V'Chomer for a little different reason than we said before. Now we're going to bring the third opinion, Rabbi Yehuda. That's our same Rabbi Yehuda was in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says straight out, min ha-Torah ha-ish mevi es ish to ha-Kohen. Biblically, the man can bring the wife to the Kohen alone without anyone else. No logic, just a biblical source. Shenemar, as it says, vehevi ha-ish es ish to. The man brings his wife. So what do we see from Yehuda? Is he using a Kal V'Chomer? No. He's saying the Torah says the man brings his wife, period. No logic here, straight off. Okay, Amar Lahu, the Gemara now explains the discrepancy. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, as the Bryce explained, said it's a kal v'chomer. Here Rabbi Yehuda says it's a pasuk. So he says like this, you know, you're right. But guess what? Didn't the rabbis refute his kal v'chomer in the Bryce? He said it's kal v'chomer. What did the rabbis say? We disagree with your kal v'chomer. You know what? He accepted their argument.
He did.
And he backed down now. He says, you know what? You're right. Logic doesn't work. So he comes up with another way to say he's believed, and that's from the pasuk. So the second brisa comes after the first brisa. The first brisa says a logical kal v'chomer. When the rabbis argued with him, he accepted their argument. And since he accepted their argument, in the next brisa, he gave a different reason. That's nothing to do with logic, it's a pasuk. That's what I'm saying. Amar lo, kal v'chomer reisha. First he said a kal v'chomer logic that we learned before, and then uparchua, but they knocked him out and asked him the question, and therefore he recanted on that. V'hadar amar lo kral. So he came back with a verse, and he says it's a text. So now it comes out it's a text. Fine. So now there's no contradiction between the two Rabbi Yehudas. The first one is before he retracted, and the second one is after he retracted. But wait a minute, one last problem. So let's look at this last price. This last price has three opinions, right?
Yeah.
This last price, the no-name brand, then Rabbi Yossi, and then Rabbi Yehuda. Well, wait a minute. What's Rabbi Yehuda adding to the Tanakhama? Rabbi Yehuda, Haina Tanakhama, then what's Rabbi Yehuda saying different in the first position? The first position also quoted a verse. The first position said that biblically, the husband's okay with her. He's saying the same thing as the first opinion. So how is he any different than the other opinion? The answer is this rabbinic addition, Ika Beineo, the difference is Aval Amru, but the sages said. In other words, the first opinion says, yes, biblically the husband go alone. But the rabbis added that you have to have two people. Rabbi Yossi said, no, it's a kal v'chomer, you never need two guys. He says you never need two guys because of logic. Comes from Yehuda, says, no, I agree with the first opinion, it's a pasuk, but I don't agree that the rabbi said you have to have two people come along. It's merely a pasuk. Let's see the notes. The difference there is between them and the Tanakhama's modifier. The Tanakhama says, however, the sages said that it's a precautionary measure the local judge should provide the husband with an escort of two Torah scholars lest him cohabit away. According to the Tanakhama, the rabbis decreed the husband should have an escort. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they issued no such decree. So it comes out like this. In this final brisa, you have three opinions. Tanakhama says biblically the husband doesn't need anybody, but rabbinically you give them. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's logical to say that he doesn't need, maybe even at all. And Rabbi Yehuda says there's a biblical text says he can go alone, and there's no reason to put the rabbinic decree into place. It doesn't say why, and that's interesting. Now, it would appear from the notes over here that the final halacha is we do supply with two Tamir Chachamim. We go to Chachamim, and they provide to the Chachamim. And guess what? We've come right up to the next Mishnah. So it's a perfect place to stop. We went Mishnah to Mishnah one day. The next Mishnah now is going to discuss, okay, now that she's in Yerushalayim, what happens to her now in the Holy Temple? What are we doing? It's a very long Mishnah that describes what the Kohanim tell her and what they do to try to get her to not drink the waters.